What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast. Got an exciting episode tonight. Tonight we are going to talk about, we're going to answer this question. Do you need a financial reset? And I'm going to go exactly what do I mean when I say financial reset. I'm going to go into what I mean by that, how you can tell if you need a financial reset, and I'm going to give you some pointers of some things to do to help you actually engage in that financial reset. So super excited about what we have to share with you tonight. Let me go through a few housekeeping things. So what's the mission of this podcast? Why am I doing this? Why do I do these episodes every week? And it's to simply help working professionals and part-time entrepreneurs break free from financial stress by mastering their money management and mindset in order to achieve financial independence, build sustainable wealth, and improve your financial health and overall well-being. So that's why we do what we do. And we got to get rid of some of this financial stress, man. A lot of people are stressed out on these jobs. They're stressed out over money. You know, they're stressed out over just a whole lot of stuff. So we want to help you alleviate some of this financial stress. But part of alleviating that stress is that you got to start building and creating sustainable wealth. And while you're doing that, you have to protect and you have to constantly work on improving your health and your overall well-being. So that's what we're about here. So here's some things that I want you to do. If you are ready to move the needle forward in your finances, you ready to get some of that financial stress off of you, here's some things that you can do. Number one, please go and download, support the podcast. Go and you can download it on all podcast streaming platforms. We are on Apple. We are on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Anywhere where podcasts are streamed, I'm there. So make sure you go and tell your friends, tell everybody. So, man, we can get this word out at an accelerated rate. Also, please go to my YouTube channel. Definitely like and subscribe. My YouTube channel is at Path to Financial Independence. So we're making that run to 100K, but baby steps. We're going to start out with one. Let's get to 1K first. But yeah, please definitely follow me, like, subscribe on YouTube. And that's at Path to Financial Independence. And help me get this word of financial wellness out. And then if you need some assistance getting your affairs in order, no matter where you are, I want to make some things available for you. Go to my website at GerardAAnderson.com. You can schedule a financial health assessment with me. Probably about 15, 20 minutes. Just going to ask you a few questions and just kind of see where you are. And then together we'll just create a roadmap to help figure out where you want to go and how to help you get there. Also on my website, I have a free masterclass. It's called the Seven Roadblocks to Financial Independence. So a lot of times there's a scripture in the Bible that says it's the small foxes sometimes that spoil the vine. So sometimes it's those roadblocks that we don't even realize that are there that's keeping us from getting to where we need to go, where we want to go, and where we desire to go. So that Seven Roadblocks of Financial Independence is going to help you identify what some of those roadblocks are and what you can do to overcome them. So again, that's on my website at GerardAAnderson.com. And then if you're really aggressive and you want to get on the fast track, man, to turn in your financial situations around and really accelerating your journey to financial independence, financial freedom, I have a challenge that I created, and it's called the Financial Reset 31 Day Challenge. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to realize if you need a financial reset and how exactly do you engage a reset if that is what you need. All right, so I'm going to put the link to all of that in the show notes. So no matter when you're watching this, all of that will be linked up. So yeah, definitely please take advantage of those resources. Yes, ma'am, please, sir. I do appreciate it. So let me do my financial disclaimer and we'll go ahead and get started. I am not a financial advisor, but I am a financial coach. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Does not constitute financial advice, okay? So your financial situation is unique. So please do your own research, do your own due diligence, and consult with a qualified financial advisor who is familiar with your personal and unique financial circumstances. All right, man, let's jump into this. I'm excited. Do you need a financial reset? That's what we're going to discuss tonight. And let's jump into this. So let me start here. How do you know if you need a financial reset? So there could be a whole lot of different triggers or a whole lot of different clues that might tell you that you need to have a financial reset. Just to give you a quick example to kind of put some context around it. So how many of you have, you know, you have the breakers in your house? And I know this happens in our house a lot. If we're cooking something and we got the heater on, then a lot of times the it'll flip. So it'll trip. And so the power will go out in that particular area. So guess what? We got to go down in the basement and we got to flip the switch. We got to reset that breaker because something is off kilter. Something isn't working the way that it needs to. So we got to go and reset something. So you all can think of your own examples of instances where things need to be reset. So it's kind of like you need to make a fresh start on something. So how do you know if you need a financial reset? So here's a couple of things to let you know that you need a financial reset. Some of these may apply to you. Some of them may not. There may be some that I don't list, but you have to kind of do that internal conversation with yourself to see, do I need a reset? So number one, if you're experiencing an inordinate amount of worry, stress, and anxiety around money, yeah, chances are you need a financial reset. If money got you stressed out, bills and the whole nine, you stressed out all the time, you worried about, you know, how things are going to work out tomorrow, you probably need a financial reset. Number two, if you're living paycheck to paycheck with no savings or no cushion, you probably need a financial reset. Number three, if you don't have an emergency fund, so if you just live in like day to day and if one unexpected thing popped up and it would pretty much throw you off for months financially, you probably need a financial reset. Another clue is if you have more month than money, you probably need a financial reset. So that means that you have either you got more going out than you have coming in, or you just don't have enough coming in to take care of your needed expenses. But that means something needs to be adjusted. So either we got to figure out how to better manage what you have coming in, or maybe it's just a case that we just need to increase. Maybe just the expenses, what you have coming in, it isn't enough. So in that case, we got to be strategic to figure out how, you know, how do we get more coming in. But if you got more month than money, you probably need a financial reset. Another clue is increasing debt with no plan to pay it off. So if your debt liability is increasing and, you know, it doesn't look like you're going to get out of debt anytime soon. Like if you just have a lot of people have those deferred student loans. And I think I even heard that a lot of people's credit score took a tank because I don't know if the loan companies submitted their names and they went into default because they weren't paying it. So, yeah, y'all keep up with those, man. I know a lot of people are still kind of hoping and praying for those student loan forgiveness. But here again, if you got a whole lot of debt and your debt is just constantly increasing, if you're having to live off of a credit card, You probably need a financial reset. Unclear financial goals. If you just kind of working, you're making money, but you don't have a clear path forward on what is this money doing for me? Like, why are you even working? Like, you taking care of the basic necessities. Yeah, that's true. But do you have a bigger overall goal on what you want your money to accomplish for you? Like, what do you want your money to do or position you to be able to do in the next year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, when you're ready to retire? Do you have a clear picture of how much you need your money to grow or how much you need invested? So you don't have to be worrying about, you know, and this breaks my heart. You see people who their retirement age, but they don't have the retirement money to live comfortably in retirement. And so I always tell people, retirement is a numbers game. It's not necessarily an age game. Most people think, oh, if I just get to a certain age and I'm eligible to retire. But listen, you got to look at those numbers, and those numbers have to really tell you, are you in a place to retire? But a lot of times we are really hands off where that's concerned. And so we just work and work and work and work and work and work for 40 years. And you may be putting a little bit aside, but do you know exactly how much you need in retirement to maintain your current lifestyle? And maybe you want your lifestyle to expand. I mean, that may sound a little far-fetched, but hey, that's a decision that you have the right to make. It's like, if you want to really, you may not have time to travel and do a whole lot of things now. So all I'm saying is that you have to really be strategic on what you want your money to do. So if you don't have clear financial goals, you could probably use a financial reset. And let me say, needing a financial reset isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just means that, hey, we just need to reset. We just need to get this thing set again, because the rules of the game might have changed from when you first started working, or when you really started thinking seriously about what you do with your money. Things could have changed then. And then the last thing, the last clue that you might need a financial reset is, if you do not have a wealth creation strategy for the future, you need a financial reset. What do I mean by that? I'm gonna be serious, man. Like, I would almost venture to say wealth creation is almost like, it's not even a negotiable anymore. Like, you really have to be intentional about creating wealth. And I heard this today. I was listening to a podcast, and this guy was saying, it's just like, let's just say if you have $1 million, if you earn $1 million, are you wealthy? And the point that he made, it depends. How long did it take you to get it? So if you had to work your whole life and you're in the last couple of years of your life, for the last year or so, but you got to the $1 million mark, that's just like, yeah, you got $1 million, but look at all the time that's passed by. So the thing is, compared to a person, the other person who has $1 million, they were able to get theirs within a period of a year, 5 years, 10 years. So not necessarily focusing on what the specific time is, but you're wealthy more so based on how long does it take for you to get there? Because if it takes your whole life and then, oh, I'm finally a millionaire, and then you transition and you die the next day, it doesn't really amount to much because you didn't get a chance to enjoy it. So the thing is, man, we want to position ourselves whatever it takes. And I mean, it's going to require a whole shift, but we want to position ourselves to create wealth as fast as we can. And a lot of people talk about get rich quick schemes. Listen, you don't need to be worrying about the get rich quick schemes. You need to be more concerned about the stay broke your whole life scheme. Like, that's the biggest scheme that this whole system is playing, designed to keep us limited, broke, and, you know, dependent on the system. So we got to change our whole way of thinking where that's concerned. Now, I'm not saying being foolish with your money, but listen, if you had a choice to get to build wealth faster versus slower, hopefully you would choose to want to build it faster if it didn't put you in the peril or any dangerous situation. Other thing about wealth is that, man, it's so much bigger than you. Like, I'm thinking about my son and, you know, the children that he's going to have. For those of you who are already grandparents, I think here's the biggest reason why we should all want to create wealth is so our children, our grandchildren, our great-grands, they don't have to start over from scratch, man. I mean, y'all think about how hard we're working now just to maintain where we are. So imagine how wonderful it would be. Okay, we got some comments. It doesn't wealth follow value. Oh, okay. Rush, what's going on, man? Yeah. We'll get into that. Wealth does follow value. Like, the more value you create, wealth will follow that value. So how do you get to that place of creating wealth? That's a good point. You got to find a way to create value. But like I was saying, like, man, we don't want our kids and grandkids to have to start from scratch. Not that doesn't mean that we're not going to teach them how to be fiscally responsible for what they have, you know, because they're going to have to, after we're gone, they're going to have to make sure that this wealth continues to carry on to subsequent generations. So that's the other part of it. So it's like you work hard your whole life and you create this wealth and you have enough to leave an inheritance for your children's children, but you didn't teach them anything about money. So that wealth could be evaporated within their generation or the next generation. So it's a twofold thing, man. It's like we're working to create wealth to pass on, but pass on the responsibility and, you know, instill in them the ability to be able to handle it, so they don't get into a place where they just lose the family inheritance. So here's the ultimate play. Imagine if you could have enough set aside that your grandchild already has enough to buy their first house and they have enough to take care of their education. That's the type of wealth that I'm talking about. Like, for where we are now, yeah, you can get your bells, your whistles, you know, get a car, whatever, you know, buy a nice house, travel, whatever. But the true wealth play is, my grandkids already have enough to start them off with their first house and they don't have to go into student loan debts. Like, that's what I'm talking about. All right. So let's go and jump into this. What is a financial reset? So I'm going to stick pretty close to my notes tonight so I don't miss anything. So if you all have any questions, I see some people's on free. What's going on? Pebble Ministries, I see you. And the Cunningham boys, Mama, appreciate you. What's up? Appreciate you jumping on. So if you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the chat. But what's a financial reset? It's a deliberate and strategic reassessment of your financial situation to regain control, eliminate financial stress, and create a sustainable plan for financial independence. Let me read that again. A financial reset is a deliberate and strategic reassessment of your financial situation to regain control, eliminate financial stress, and create a sustainable plan for financial independence. It's about hitting the reset button on your money habits, your mindset, and financial goals to ensure they align with the life you want to build. God, oh boy, that's good. Let me read that second part again. It's about hitting the reset button on your money habits, mindset, and financial goals to ensure they align with the life you want to build. So here's an important part with that. Financial resets are necessary throughout your life. So I don't want you to think that, oh, even though I gave those reasons, it's almost like a tune-up. So your financial situation as a student in college is going to change when you get your first job. So you got more income coming in. So you're going to have to reset some things. You're going to have to reset your mindset. You're going to have to reset what some of your goals may be. So I would say that it's situational for the season of life that you're in. So you're single, you live in that bachelor life or whatever. When you get married, you're going to need about two or three. You're going to need about two or three financial resets. So look at it as a recalibration. So as you move through different seasons of life, you got to reset based on where you are now. So don't look at it as a negative thing or like, oh, gosh, I need a reset. So that must be meaning I'm not doing something right. No, just as you move through different seasons, you got to is almost like a car after you drive it. So let's just say you get a new car. When you drive it, like, it's driving perfectly, but after a while, you know, it's going to get out of alignment. It's going to get out of balance. You're going to need to rotate some tires. So it's just the natural, with the natural wear and tear of life, things have to be put back in alignment. Things have to be reset. Things have to be realigned. So look at a reset as based on what season that I am, what changes or adjustments do I need to make so my money and my finances are working for me and not against me. I'll tell you a quick story for me when I needed to make a financial reset. So some of y'all know my story, got my job out of undergrad and ended up making like $23,000 with a master's degree. And I still get mad when I think about that, but I had to reset out the box because like the money that I thought I was going to be making, I wasn't making that. So lost that job, eventually got another job. And then around COVID time, I made a decision to leave that job. So one thing that I realized for my whole 20 years of working, when I really took time to think about it, I didn't have a whole lot to show for all those years of work. So, I mean, when I got my second job, I was making pretty good money. But shoot, if you would have asked me, it's like, all right, you've been working about 15 years now. It's just like, show me the numbers. Like, what have you been doing with your money? And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out where in the world did all this money go, because I didn't really have much saved in retirement. It's just like I was just saving a little and then spending some. And, you know, before you know it, you're waiting for the next paycheck to come because you didn't budget right, didn't manage the money right. So when I left that job and the reality of how much disarray my finances were in, I realized it's just like, okay, something isn't right here. Like, I've been doing this for the last 15, 20 years, and whatever I've been doing is not working. So I had to make a reset. I didn't even fully know that that's what it was at the time, but I knew that I couldn't go the latter 20 years, which is the season I'm in now. So by that time, I was probably, I'm not going to tell y'all, I'm not going to calculate no age number, but I knew what I did the first 20 years of my working life. I had to reset for the second 20 years because, shoot, I'll be one of those people trying to get a job somewhere when it's time to retire. And so once I realized that I needed to make a shift, that's when I really got serious about my finances, because I saw myself 20 years went by like this. And I knew 20 more years would go by like that. And so it really scared me, the thought of being 20 years removed again and still not making any more progress than I had made the first 20 years. So I had to make a financial reset. And part of that reset was getting myself educated. Part of that was creating some new goals, you know, instead of just working to retirement. It's just like, no, I need to think more from a wealth mentality. So all of that went into that reset. But I'm going to tell you exactly. So if you're in that place where you think, yeah, I may need a reset, what steps do I need to take? So that's what we're about to jump into now. So where do you begin with a financial reset? So I'm going to talk about four areas. These are four principles, and this is actually the process that I went through to help me with my financial reset. So number one, and we'll get into the practical, like, you know, budgeting, but before you even get to that stuff, you got to really get this part that I'm talking about. So number one is change your relationship with your money and your finances. That's the first area I'm going to talk about. Number two, you got to change your relationship with yourself. Number three, you have to change how you think about money and finances. And number four, you have to change your behavior where your money and finances are concerned. So those are the four areas that I'm going to run through. Rush, I see you said, what are some products or vehicles to help build wealth. Let me come back to that. We're going to kind of deal with the mindset. So it's kind of like a stairway, Russell. First, you got to make sure that you get yourself right first with your mindset. How do you see yourself? And we're going to talk about that. And then, you know, you get into that next level of managing what you have. And then after you got those basics worked out, you know, you got a, you know, your emergency fund, you putting some money aside to savings, then there's some different in vehicles. The most basic, of course, your the retirement product that's offered on the job. So it's different levels that you start at that you have to start based on where you are. So I'll come back to that. But it really you can go from contributing to your 401k to options. And options is like a whole nother level of a vehicle to create wealth. But most people aren't familiar with that. So it really depends on where you are. All right. So let's start with changing your relationship with your money. All right. So let me ask you this. If money were a person, what kind of relationship would you have? Would money be like a loyal friend, a toxic ex, or a stranger that you avoid? So a lot of times we don't really think about how we relate to our money, but you are in a relationship with your money. Now, what type of relationship is it? I know people who are scared to open their bills. That may be that fearful relationship. I know people who work themselves to the bone for money. That could be in a, like money is an abuser of you. It's like you are basically running yourself in the hole for money. And I mean, understood, you got to do what you got to do. But that's not the type of relationship that you want. Or is money a loyal friend? Someone, a relationship that you can always depend on? Like people who might say, man, I don't never have enough money to do the things that I need to do. So in that relationship, money may not be too loyal where your relationship with it is concerned. But I want you to think in terms of what type of relationship, I would even venture to say, what type of love relationship do you have with your money? Is it a love or hate? So let's dig into this a little bit deeper. So changing your relationship with money. So here's what you got to understand where finances are concerned. It's just like with relationships, it's not just about the numbers. It's like a real emotion. It's an emotional thing. So you have to think, what is that emotional connection like with your money? Is it an emotional connection of fear? Or does what type of emotions does money and finances evoke in you? Is it a fear? Is it a level of anxiety? So number one, I want you to think about what's the emotional connection. Number two is past experiences. So how have you related to your money based on the past? So your childhood lessons, the fears of what you heard growing up, like, so let's suppose if you were raised hearing, well, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. So based on that, your relationship might be overprotective. I don't want to let money go by any means. I'm going to hold on to it. I don't want to spend anything because the relationship that you had in your upbringing might have taught you just like, child, money is hard to come by. So when you get it, you better hold on to it at all costs. So not putting any judgment on that, right, wrong, or indifferent, but you need to understand, how do you relate to your money? What did you hear about money growing up as a child? Now, why could something like that be a problem? So you might get money and you might, because you heard it's so hard to come by, you might want to hold on to all your money and you might pass up opportunities for investments. And so Rush had asked the question, investment vehicles to build wealth. I run across people who they're so scared of losing the money. They was just like, I'm not investing in nothing because everything is too risky and I might lose my money. And can you guarantee me anything? Can't make any guarantees. But the issue with that is You hold on to what you have, but guess what? That money is losing value simply because of inflation. And so, I'll tell you this example. So, I don't want to tell too much of my business, but let's just say it like this. If you got money sitting around the house, that money is losing value just sitting in the house, okay? Because everything is going up. So let's just think about the price of eggs. How much eggs could you buy with $10 a few years ago based on how much you could buy with $10 now? So that teaches you right there that money is losing its purchasing power because everything is going up. So you almost have to put yourself in a situation where you are willing to invest, because if you're just putting all your money in the bank, it's not doing nothing but losing value. I know someone said, man, we're going to have to start keeping money under our mattress again. Hey, if you need to keep a couple of dollars, yeah, do that. Keep some cash on hand. But you need that money. Some of that money got to be out growing, making more money. So when you get to that place of retirement, your money has been working for you just as long as you've been working for it. Another thing, if you saw money mismanaged growing up, you might repeat the same cycle unconsciously. This one is so powerful because I'm even realizing in my own life, some of the examples that I saw from my parents, even examples that may not have been the best, unconsciously, I took some of those on just because things from your parents get passed down. So you have to be aware of all of that. So if you have some issues mismanaging or managing your money, don't beat yourself up. This is not a beat down session, but you want to understand where did this come from. Okay. So your financial history influences your financial future. Write that down. Your financial history influences your financial future until you decide to rewrite the script. And that's what we're talking about now. Hey, based on where we are now, I can't engage with money the same way I might have when I was, you know, back in my teens. I'm in a whole different responsibilities. Got a family now, got a house, man, got a plan for retirement, trying to enjoy life. So you got to rewrite the script. All right. So here's a little activity for you. I just want you to go back and think about some of your money stories that you heard growing up, some of your past experiences. Think about any personal setbacks you might have experienced, anything where you might have made a wrong financial decision and you lost a lot of money. How do those things shape your current financial behaviors? And man, I got a lot of notes. I'm going to just run through these. Couple of other things just for your thinking. Do you have a scarcity versus an abundance mindset? Do you spend emotionally? Are you more of an avoider? Are you more aware? So like, do you avoid checking your balance? Do you avoid opening bills? Like, are you aware that you're doing those things? Do you use money as a tool? Is money more of a tool for you, or is it more of a master? So a lot of people, man, mastered by money. Like, I won't go too deep into that biblical stuff, but say a man can't serve two masters. But is money a tool or is it a master to you? So those are some things to think about. All right, number two. All right, so number one, we just covered changing your relationship with money. Number two, changing your relationship with yourself. Ooh, now what does that mean? Like, what does your relationship with yourself have to do with your financial state? So your self-worth influences your net worth. Selah, pause and think about that. Your self-worth influences your net worth. So if you don't believe you deserve financial success, if you don't think you deserve wealth, financial independence, guess what? If those things try to find their way into your life, you're going to self-sabotage. We see it all the time. People who are fearful of success, when success comes knocking at their door, they'll find a way to sabotage it. And a lot of times it's unconsciously. So you have to really take stock of what do you feel and what do you think about yourself specifically where money and finances are concerned. What do you think you're worthy of? Like, do you think you're worthy of having hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, or whatever? Just where are you? You have to really think, like, where do you see yourself and why do you see yourself that way? I have this, this is something that God gave me. I can't think of how long ago it was, but wealth is in your DNA. And I don't remember what scripture I was I think it was we're created in the image of God. And I was meditating on that one day, and it just, the thought that came is just like, you know, God is all encompassing. Like, he's all in all, everything. Like he is, I am that I am. Like, that's everything. And so the thought came, it's just like, that's what you're carrying on the inside of you. Like, you're carrying me on the inside of you. And so if you ever deal with feelings of inferiority or feelings of unworthiness, you have to remind yourself of who you're carrying on the inside and whose image you were created in. So when you think about wealth, and I tell myself all the time, like, wealth is in my DNA. It's just a part of who I am. So what that does, as more wealth comes my way, I don't have to get all nervous, because I already see myself, like, before dollar one shows up, like, wealth is who I am. It's in my DNA because of whose son I am, whose child I am. I come from a royal lineage. So that's really first base, where all of this, all of the other stuff, you know, how much you saving, how much you invest in, what's your debt to income ratio? If you don't get this identity part right first, you always trip yourself up as you move up the ladder. Man, God may be trying to move you up to that higher place, but until you get that identity piece right, you're going to always stumble on something. So that's why I kind of take a different approach. If I can get you to really understand who you are and how you were created, man, by the time we go to figuring out how to multiply money or how to manifest or whatever, or how to get to, you know, a millionaire status, once you see yourself the right way, the rest of the stuff is elementary. But we've been programmed, and man, we've been psychologically abused basically by this system to get us to see ourselves a certain way. For the most part, we can't see ourselves beyond just that employee mindset, identity, or mentality. Not saying anything is wrong with being an employee, having your job, because yeah, you got to work. I understand that better than anybody, but that does not have to define the totality of who you are, because God created you so much bigger than that. All right, let's keep on going. All right, so wealth is in your DNA. It's your identity. So I had a story I was going to tell. I'm going to just summarize it. So last night, man, woke up about 3:30. Eyes just popped open. Couldn't go back to sleep. And so I was just kind of ruminating through some thoughts in my mind, and not to sound too deep, but you know, usually when I wake up like that, I'm just like, okay, God, what's up? Why am I up? Because usually I have no trouble sleeping. And so this thought came to my mind, and I know it was God planted this thought in my mind: is anything too hard for God? It was just that question that came into my mind. And it was almost like he wanted me to really wrestle with that thought. Is anything too hard for God? And of course, the answer, the immediate answer would be like, well, no, nothing is too hard for God. But I think why that came up was because before I went to bed, I wrote in my journal some things that I said, you know what? I'm officially casting my care from these situations. I'm not carrying the care of finances, you know, family, anything. I'm not carrying this care anymore. God, I'm casting this care on you. And so it was interesting that that thought came: is anything too hard for God? And so after I started thinking along those lines, I was like, okay, let me just go ahead and get up. let me just get up because I see this is going somewhere. So I got up, came where I am now, sitting in this chair, and I just started thinking along those lines. And what came is that if you relinquish responsibility for something, if you delegate it or if you relinquish it to somebody else, you have to have a level of trust in that person to be able to carry that out. And I was talking to, my fraternity brother this weekend, and we just got to talking about trust and just how almost innately it's just really hard to trust anybody. And so I think what God was trying to get me to see, it was just like, okay, if you want me to take responsibility for these aspects of your life, which we should, like it says, cast all your care, then it becomes, how much do you trust me to be able to do that? And so I couldn't just answer that question quickly, like, oh no, nothing is too hard for God, because in my mind, I was thinking along things that was too hard for me. And if you're not careful, you transfer things that are too hard for you. And you just kind of assume like, well, if it's too hard for me, then, you know, I'm not going to say it's too hard for God. But the underlying thought is that this is a difficult thing. And so, you know, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, I'm not going to be surprised because it's hard. So I didn't even go back to sleep, man. I was dog tired today, but I stayed with that thought and until I finally got to the point that I could say, no, God, it's not too hard for you. Even if I think it may be too hard for me, it's not too hard for you. And then even that, you got to go back to how do you see yourself? But I just wanted to share that. But I challenge you with that, even where your finances are concerned and your personal relationship with God, I ask you that question based on where you are right now and compared to where you want to be or to where you could be. Is anything too hard for God? See, it hit a little bit different now when we look at where we are and why we stay in certain situations. All right. What time is it, man? Let me go. Let me keep on going. All right. So say this, I am worthy of wealth. Say that to yourself. I am worthy of wealth. Because your beliefs about yourself impact your financial success more than your actual income. So it's not even necessarily about the money starting out. It's what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about money? What do you believe about how you relate to money? So write down this idea again. Your belief about yourself impacts your financial success more than your actual income. It's not the income piece, man, that's further on down the road. What do you believe about yourself? Woo, boy. Okay. Let me go through some of this. I got to speed up a little bit. So are you dealing with imposter syndrome? And this is just for you to kind of run through your head. Do you have a fear of a success or do you have a fear of failure? Are you the one who has to break the generational cycle in your family? So there could be a certain way of thinking or being that's been passed down from generation to generation. Are you the one that has to break that cycle in your family? Are you going to be the first millionaire in your family? Are you going to be the first one to go to college, whatever? Are you going to be the one to break that generational cycle in your family? And then, have a compassion for yourself. So understand that people make financial mistakes, but you don't have to define your future based on the mistakes of your past. So you got to forgive yourself for past missteps. Like, ish happens. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, keep it moving, man. We got a long journey ahead. All right. So another quick confession. I am capable of managing and growing my wealth. All right. Number three, change your thinking. Change your thinking. Everything starts up here. What do you believe? What are you thinking? Your mindset dictates your financial reality. So here again, you got to shift your mindset. Like, you can want the biggest, the best, and you can say, oh, man, I'm worthy, God. Even the confessions that I just told you to say, you can say that. But if the mind doesn't line up with that, then you're going to have what they call cognitive dissonance. So it's almost like you're going to be pulling at two opposite ends. It's like on the one side, you're saying this, but your mindset would be like, "Now, nah, girl, you know you don't believe that. I don't even know why you're wasting your time saying all that stuff." So the biggest work of this whole financial journey is getting things in alignment. You got to get your belief systems in alignment. You got to get your mindset in alignment. You got to get your words in alignment. You got to get your environment in alignment. Everything has to get aligned. And that's where the biggest part of this work is getting everything in alignment. Now, what are you fighting against? You've been, for the last 20, 30, 40 years, you've been out of alignment, and everything has been out of alignment for this long. And now all of a sudden you're going to come because, you know, you heard something or you're uncomfortable, and now you want this, but you all the way here. And so the process is you got to change your thinking. How does that happen? Like, listening to this is changing your thinking. You got to change your words. You got to change your belief. You got to change your goals. You got to change. So everything has to get in alignment with where you want to go and what God says is possible for you. I ain't trying to get too spiritual or on you, but alignment is important. It starts with your mindset. Now, the thing that I did, man, and I wrote a book about it, and you all pick that book up. Pick that book up if you haven't. I wrote a book called Five Star Mentality, The Mindset of the Super Achievers. If you go to fivestarmentality.com, you can get a copy. But, and I'm going to tell you this quick story, and I'm going to go on my last step, and then we're going to wrap up. Me and my wife, we were going on a trip, and we were like in zone four. We was like all the way sitting there in front of the restrooms, man, and we was the last to get on the plane. And when we got on the plane, you know, everybody was, you know, already people in first class. It's like some people was already about to take a nap. Like, that's how long they were on the plane. And so we sitting here, excuse me, and trying to find overhead luggage space. Can't find no luggage space anywhere, man. And man, my wife sat down. She was like, "Man, this is for the birds." And so I was like, "What you say?" She was like, "Man, this ain't it right here." And so I remember thinking, why can't we experience the same thing that those people in first class are experiencing? And at the time, we was making good money. And that thought stuck with me that whole trip. It's like, why can't we experience these better things? And when I really went back and did the math, it wasn't about money, because we was making enough money to be able to do that. And man, it was like it hit me like a ton of bricks. It took a while, but I came back to, oh, it's our mindset. It's that thought was, well, we can't afford first class, or first class costs too much, or I ain't going to be spending that much money. And man, when I realized that, that whole thing blew up on the inside of us. And we wrote a whole book about it called Five Star Mentality. But the thought of it behind it was, all of us are deserving and worthy of living a five-star life. Now, for you, that may not be Beverly Hills Hotel. That may not be a Bentley or Maserati. Whatever five-star life is for you, that could be valet parking. It could be getting popcorn at the movies, or getting water, or breaking the seal on the drinks in the hotel. You got to determine what your five-star life is. I'm just here to tell you that you are worthy of it. But your mindset might be telling you otherwise. So fivestarmentality.com, man. We tell our whole story of how we broke through that in that book. So I'll put that in the show notes as well. All right. So I'm going to skip through some of this. How negative thoughts. So what negative thoughts are limiting you financially? You got to go. Y'all see how much work we got to do before we even talk about the money and the wealth part? We got to get all this stuff here straight. How negative money thoughts limit you. So if you have debt, you might be telling yourself, "Man, shoot, I'm gonna be in debt my whole life. Man, I'm gonna die in debt." Versus, no, I'm actively paying down this debt, and it's gonna be gone sooner than later. So what negative thoughts have you been carrying around that's keeping you limited financially? Like, until we get that. Like, money could be knocking at your door trying to get through, but that negative thinking and be like, don't come here with all that. I don't want to hear all of that, you know, wealth and money stuff. That's why we got to get the mindset right. All right, and let's move on to four, and then we'll wrap up here. So change your behavior. So here's where the rubber meets the road. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even with all of the stuff that I just talked about, identity and the mindset, change your relationship with money, all of that needful is good, is right, is true. You need to do it. But if that doesn't result in some type of action or behavior, you're still going to be stuck behind the eight ball. So nothing is going to change without action. But how you act is based off of what you believe and how you're thinking. So y'all see how all this comes together? So knowledge without action is useless. But how are you going to act if you don't have no knowledge? And Free, I'm going to pick on you again. Me and my fraternity brother, he coined this saying a long time ago. He's like, common sense is not that common. So it's almost like we expecting people to move and operate a certain way, but they don't have the common sense to be able to do that. So it's just like, why you do that? Like, that don't make no sense. Because they don't have that common sense ain't ruminating in their head. So you got to put action to all of this stuff. So this is where we get to. So some of the things that I had to do. So I went through all of this stuff and mindset stuff, mentality. But practically speaking, what was my first step? I saved. I went through Dave Ramsey's program. I saved my first $1,000, baby steps. Like, that was one of the first major things that I intentionally did that really kind of helped put me on the road of developing good financial habits. So I saved my first $1,000, and these are just some of the practical things that I did. Going back to Jason was asking, some products or vehicles to help build wealth. So it starts with income. And so one of the things that I did, I started tapping into some of my passions and purposes, whatever. So I started writing books, and that book started to generate income, and that freed up money for me to now go and look for investment vehicles like, you know, stocks or Roth IRAs, ETFs, index funds, real estate. But you got to get the income coming in, because most of that work income is going to just take care of the household. Now, you may be a high income earner. You still got to know how to manage what you have. But you want to be at a point where you get multiple streams coming in, because as we know, the times that we're living in now, people who went to sleep with a job yesterday ain't necessarily waking up with jobs today. I'm just saying. And then some people may not want to be on that job tomorrow. So you got to position yourself. It doesn't happen overnight, but you got to position yourself to diversify, get income coming in from other streams. So that's some of the things that I did. It's like, okay, what can I do to add value? Going back to his first comment, doesn't wealth follow value? So I wasn't thinking like, ooh, how can I be a millionaire? That wasn't even a thought of mine or whatever. My thing was, it's just like, okay, I got this idea for a book for young people struggling with identity issues, trying to figure out their purpose and who they are in life. And it's just like, man, I had some of those same struggles just trying to navigate my way through life. Man, maybe if I wrote a book, it might help some of them navigate theirs. So I wasn't necessarily thinking, ooh, I'm going to make money off of this. I was just thinking like, man, maybe this is going to help somebody. So how can you add value? So let's start there. What's your skill set? What are you passionate about? What can you do to add value to other people? And then I got my certification in financial social work, and that's partly why I'm able to do what I'm doing now. So I'm going to stop there, man, because I could be going on and on. But hopefully you all got what you needed. And if you need a financial reset, so I created what I called, I told you, my 31-day financial reset challenge. So if you go to my website at GerardAAnderson.com, let me see if I can pull that up. All of the stuff that I'm telling you about. I put the basics of the things, the mindset piece, a lot of the stuff that I talked about tonight, I put in that 31-day challenge. And I got schedule a free financial health assessment. You can do that too. Like if you just want to like draw, kind of walk me through and, you know, ask me some questions to help me figure out where I'm at and, you know, help me set some goals. You can go to my website and do that as well. But I definitely want you, if you heard some things tonight and it's just like, yeah, I know I need to, you know, reset some things, but you're not quite sure where to start, that that 31-day financial reset that's going to help you. And I only priced it at $29. So, you know, everybody could take advantage of it. Now, depending on what your mindset, some people might still be like, $29? Well, why you can't make it for free? That's why we got to deal with that mindset. But yeah, so go to my website, take advantage of all that stuff. I'll put it all in the show notes. And yeah, man, let's go. So y'all know where we at, man. So I think this paints a good blueprint of where we headed at. So I'm going to just spend some more time with the intangible stuff, the mindset, the identity, getting in alignment, getting your words right, getting your goals right, getting your belief system right, getting your relationships right with yourself, with your money, with God, all of that stuff. Get that right. And probably the latter part of this year, once we get all of that stuff in alignment, man, by the time we get to the place of making a demand on wealth ideas, because you're still going to have an idea to add value, but those things are going to come so easy and the mindset is going to be there to be able to handle it. All right, y'all, that's it. Ooh, I went hard in the paint for a whole hour tonight. My goodness, I tried not to go that long. But, man, appreciate y'all jumping on. Please go to spread the word. Go to my YouTube page, at Path to Financial Independence. Take advantage of the free resources on my website. And, man, let's go ahead and get this money and build this wealth and take over. All right, man. Y'all have an enjoyable rest of your Monday night, and I will see you next week.